expensive cases. Then we have the case of Circuit Court versus AFSCME. This is again a very complex litigation between circuit court judges, the counties, and the unions as to who is the individual who has the right to represent these people.
You have this in written form for us.
Yes, it is part of the testimony that I have submitted today. Then we have the most recent case of Circuit Court of Curry County versus the Curry County Board of Commissioners. I am representing Curry County in that particular litigation. The Attorney General's Office and I have both requested of the Court of Appeals that this case be held pending the outcome of Senate Bill 780, this very legislation. Oral arguments have not been set. And the reason that we're holding off on this is hopefully that this bill will pass. If it doesn't pass, there is a grave constitutional question that this legislation, ORS Chapter 419-604, is valid. We have the concurring opinion of the Oregon Chief Justice Peterson of the Oregon Supreme Court, which I have set forth in my written testimony. Additionally, I met with Bill Gary, Deputy Attorney General of the State of Oregon, within the last week concerning unemployment cases that have arisen out of Douglas County, concerning civil rights cases that have arisen out of Marion County and Douglas County. Frankly, we don't know who represents who. ORS Chapter 3 says that employees of the juvenile court are, in fact, county employees. We have Chapter 419, which says that the juvenile employees are basically circuit court employees. We have cases which hold that the individuals who work for circuit court are, for the purposes of unemployment compensation, county employees, and for the purposes of workers' compensation, they are state employees. The system is not going to last in its present state. This is not a situation where we can choose between two good alternatives. Something's got to change. The system's broken. Either the state takes it over or you give it back to the counties. Certainly happy to stand for any questions that you might have.
Representative Bellamy.
What legal, let's say this bill passed in the present form that it's sent to us. Is there any legal authority or legal responsibility that the circuit court judge has for the juvenile work in the county?
Let me give you the answer is yes. First of all, the judge is the judge of those cases that comes before the judge. If I were going to compare this with the present circuit court system that we have for adult criminals, the same provisions apply. I would speak specifically...
Wait a minute here. That's true, but the circuit court for the adult has nothing to do with the prison, has nothing to do with the... with the parole board and this sort of thing, is that correct?
True.
Well, then I want to only know, and if you want to compare it to adult court, I don't think you can. I want to know if the circuit court judge has responsibilities for the juvenile work within their jurisdiction.
Yes.
If this bill was to pass.
Yes. No question. The judge is still going to be the judge. Still have the same authority that the judge presently has,
okay,
except the right to hire and fire and set salaries.
Okay, what sort of responsibilities do they have? I want to know what they have. When you answer yes, I want to know, tell me what it
is. You have two basic systems. You have a juvenile that comes in and it's not a major crime, or the child can be taken care of by a counselor without the filing of a formal petition. The counselor takes care of those cases, basically an informal adjudication. The counselor, depending upon the system in the particular county, may or may not report that to the director, may or may not report that to the circuit court judge. That depends on the system. The judge can establish the parameters of the informal adjudication. That's the judge's responsibility to set those policies. That's a policy-making decision, and the circuit court does that. If the present bill goes through, no change. Now, the argument is the circuit court is no longer going to have the power to set those policies. He's still going to have the same power that he had before. Next thing, formal adjudication. The judge can require a petition be filed by the district attorney, and the child will be brought before the judge. This bill will not affect the judge's authority with regard to the formal petition. The district attorney still serves at the request of the circuit court, so the district attorney's office position will not change. This bill does not affect anything other than the right to hire, fire, and set salaries. Frankly, I think the higher fire set salaries is unconstitutional. It's a violation of the separation of powers doctrine.
Okay. Deschutes County 2 years ago. and I don't know which did which, but just let me say this. There was a major policy as to how to run the county juvenile department, and it dealt with some methods of group peer evaluation. The judge said, this may be backward, but one party said do it and the other party said don't. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with the type of counseling being done, which is in essence what the authority over the county juvenile department. The county commissioners said don't do it, I believe, or said do it, and the judge said the opposite, and the judge said I will hold you in contempt of court if you do it. And I guess what I'm getting at is, if we pass this bill, have we really changed anything?
No.
Can the judge still hold the department in contempt of court for the actions done in the department?
Certainly. No change. The concept, however, is a little bit different. The judge would have to require by order that the certain counseling service or whatever the sanction against the individual child may be, put it in an order. Now, if that sanction is lawful, then it would have to be carried out. For example, Judge Norblad in Marion County uses detention very liberally. I think that's an appropriate sanction, frankly. That's a personal matter. I think he's doing an excellent job. Other circuit court judges who are handling juvenile matters do not believe in the liberal use of detention. It's up to the judge to determine the sanction and the counseling that's done. Now, in either case, the judge may order something that the county cannot afford to do. And at that point, you get into a fiscal dispute as to who's going to do what. This bill will do one thing, however. It will require the circuit court judges to come within the provisions of local budget law, and that's also very, very important.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
If the judge did not agree with to come within those local fiscal budget law things in the county, could he hold the county in contempt of court for firing juvenile people? Not individuals, but let's say they decided to take three people out of the juvenile department. Could he hold them in contempt of court if this bill passed and say, no, we're not going to do that?
You can have a dispute between the county board of commissioners, the budget or conservatory commission, and the circuit court over the availability of resources. That will continue. It's there right now. For example, in Marion County, we have a jail that doesn't have any sentenced bed authority. We have had circuit court judges which have ordered us to expend funds for placing those individuals in other counties. And that's a potential point of friction. The same point of friction will remain regardless of whether this bill passes or does not pass.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bill.
So the only thing this bill does is really talk about hiring and firing the juvenile director.
And setting salaries.
And setting the salaries.
That's right.
And if we eliminated the setting the salaries, which is kind of what the amendments propose to do.
I have not seen the amendments.
Well, that's kind of in the direction they go, is to take away the setting of the salaries away from the judge. You still believe that the hiring and firing of that juvenile director is a constitutional question?
Yes.
Or is it the setting the salaries, or both?
Both. As Justice Peter, as my written testimony sets forth, I agree with Justice Peterson's analysis. The employee or the official of one branch of government cannot hire the employees of another branch of government. And by statute and by the Oregon Constitution, these people are county employees.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy.
Let me ask one question because this is my concern. I could vote for this bill on the aspect of hiring and firing the juvenile director and, of course, setting the salaries. But in my opinion, it isn't going to solve anything. And we're dealing with very temperamental egos with circuit court judges. It appears to me that they still can order the county juvenile department to do whatever they want to do if they get mad enough to do it. And generally speaking, that's why we have the bill, is that one or two counties each year, the county commissioners and the circuit court judges get mad at each other. And that's why we have the bill. And it appears to me that in essence, we can pass the bill, and other than hiring and firing, setting the salary, we really haven't done anything. That circuit court judge gets mad and decides to order the county to do something within their department. They're going to do it anyway because they'll hold them in contempt. Now, I'd like for you to respond if you feel you can.
Well, there are two issues. One's a policy question, and I think that the other party should respond to that. But from a legal point of view. From a legal point of view. The judge has to have the authority to set policy over the juvenile department. This bill won't change that. So if, in fact, the judge is setting the policy as, for example, for the sanction or the type of disposition in a non-formal petition, that policy will be carried out. However, if the judge wants an additional parking lot or a parking spot for a counselor or for his secretary, and he tries to hold us in contempt of court, as which happened in Marion County, we will say no, and we'll go to court on that. And we'll allow another circuit court judge to determine whether or not it's a policy for the juvenile court or it's a policy that is outside the court's jurisdiction.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Then you bring up the basis for my concern. If the judge has the responsibility for setting policy for the juvenile court, the county commissioners are not supporting this bill because they want to hire and fire the director. They want to set the policy of the juvenile department. And that's where I get back to the point of saying that that's where the county commissioners want. They want that authority, and I'm saying that the bill won't do that. Now, very seldom do they come up here and say, we want to just hire and fire the director. They're really saying that we have to pay for it. We have the responsibility. We want to take care of it. You're just telling me now that no, the judge is the one that's going to have the authority over the department and the policies.
The concept that you're speaking with presently exists in Multnomah County. If that scenario exists, the County Board of Commissioners would have the right to set policy over those county juvenile counselors that serve in civil service. I think the point is that's not an issue. Because in Multnomah County, if that issue was there, it would exist already, and it doesn't exist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything further?
Let me ask, Chair.
Okay, I have a witness saying he wants to talk, Commissioner Frankie and Representative Bauman. I will remind everybody that we have another bill with 6 or 7 witnesses and another one with one more witness, and we have civil commitment, and we're due on the floor possibly subject to call at 4 o'clock, and there's another hearing that begins at 6 p.m. With that, Representative Bauman.
It's called chilling effect. Just in terms of politics and the impact of popular politics over elected officials at the county level, can you address the questionability of placing policy over the juvenile court director with a group of people who are much more apt to be influenced by the ups and downs, peaks and valleys, if you like, of cycle of popular opinion, and make those peaks and valleys much more evident in the administration of juvenile justice?
I'm sure that Commissioner Frankie would like to address that also, but very quickly, in general law counties, we already have that in existence. We have 5 or 6 independently elected officials plus the Board of Commissioners. So that already exists, for example, in a jail when you have an elected, independently elected sheriff and you have an independently elected Board of Commissioners. The same thing would exist with regard to juvenile departments if this bill passed. You would have a judge who wishes to set policy with regard to the counselors and with regard to the detention facility, and you'd have the Board of Commissioners that would also be involved in the process. So from a practical point of view, it would leave the juvenile court system in basically the same situation as that we presently have the present jail system and sheriff system and county commissioners.
Mr. Chair, just a quick follow-up. Then there's no buffer between, under this bill, there would be no buffer between the juvenile justice system operation and popular political Trent.
You would have the judge who was setting policy, and you would have the Board of Commissioners involved in the concept of civil service appointments. I don't know if I addressed your question or not. I'm sorry if I didn't.
I don't know if you did or not either.
I'm sorry.
I'll try to be very quick and brief, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the opportunity to cover a couple of points. First of all, I guess I'll use Marion County as an example. I know it best of all in the state. We in Marion County, and I'm including the entire Board of Commissioners, support the juvenile department and support the programs in the juvenile department. We're not at war with our juvenile court judge, Judge Al Norblad. We are not at war with our current juvenile department director, nor were we at war with the last one, nor with the one preceding him. The issue with us, and the issue with, I may suggest, a majority of the county commissions in the state of Oregon, is one of sound, solid administrative management, administrative control, as it would be in any business, or as I would suggest you yourselves would be concerned about in state agencies and state departments. We are not interested in disturbing current policy in the juvenile department. The juvenile department is one of our top two or three departments funded in the county. It's funded that way because, not just because Judge Norblad thinks it's important and necessary, it's because the Marion County Board of Commissioners and the Budget Committee think so. We have gone out to five elections the last 6 years with that as a top one. It is a popular department. It is a popular service with the public and our constituents. I guess I am at a loss at anybody's rationale who would suggest to you that county commissioners are going to abandon the future of this state and our country, and that is the juveniles and the problems they have. It's simply not true. The public would not allow it. And I don't think anybody can point, at least I'm aware of, to any circumstance that would prove that what I would suggest is an unfounded concern. It's a strong department now, and we want it to remain so. It's not an issue of policy. It's an issue of administration. There are some similarities in terms of the adult correction system and how the juvenile system would work if the bill passed, and I think in terms of a cooperation that in not all instances does not exist today between the judges and the departments. It is unfortunate, and I suppose if I was politically smart I wouldn't say this, but let's be honest with each other. You guys have got a tough decision, and it's unfortunate, but I would suggest it's not always the circuit court judge that the commissioners are fighting with in those instances where there are strong disagreements. Unfortunately, it's the one in the middle who kind of kicks dust on the commissioners and then runs around and hides behind the 400-pound gorilla wearing the black robe. And I say it in that terms because one of our former juvenile department directors said it to us in a friendly way, not an antagonistic way. And it's unfortunate, but I think that really is more of the problem of dispute than it is with judges and commissioners in all too many instances. I thank you for your time and consideration. You have a tough decision.
I suppose quickly.
Very quickly, Madam Chair. It could be that the information with respect to the eastern counties is or is not true with respect to the 11,000 population. I'm not totally sure of that. If it's under 11,000 population, I'm sure that statute applies, but if we've got that a little bit skewed, I'd be glad to withdraw that opinion.
Can you speak up? I missed that.
Mr. Chair, I don't know what the population specifically is of the seven counties that are involved in eastern Oregon. My sense is that in some cases it might be more than 11,000 population, in which case there must be another statute that controls. I just don't know. I haven't got the information right here.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you again.
Ajax Moody.
Mr. Moody left.
Mr. Linden. Is there anyone else signed up for this, for 780? It's still here.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Bill Linden, State Court Administrator. I'm just going to take a few moments of your time. The Chief Justice Peterson and the Judicial Department support Senate Bill 780. Our basic rationale is if the funding responsibility is going to rest with the county governments, they ought to have the authority to hire and set the salaries for the head of a county agency. We are less enthusiastic about what was termed as the ultimate solution of state funding for all juvenile services. And our reason is that right now we pay for the judge and the court reporter and the court clerk, et cetera, who work at the juvenile courts, but we have some very deep conceptual problems with the state court system assuming responsibility for executive branch type functions like detention and counseling services. It's not an issue right now because the state doesn't have the money to even think about it. You've heard that there would be some savings to the state in workers' compensation insurance. I also believe this bill will result in reduced potential liability for the state. I cannot put a dollar figure on that, but the situation right now is such where we have in the Judicial Department incurred certain expenses relating to the confusion over who works for who in terms of the juvenile system, and this would certainly clear up any ambiguity. It's important, I think, to note that this bill does not dilute the authority of the juvenile judge. The juvenile judge retains all authority over adjudicative decisions that he or she has had in the past. What it does is it transfers the hiring and salary setting authority. You've heard a number of informal polls from various witnesses. I just wanted to make you aware that, to my knowledge, the circuit judges as a whole have never been polled on this issue. There certainly is a disagreement of opinion. The Judicial Conference, which represents all judges at the appellate and trial court level, has an executive committee of elected members from all different levels. This issue was presented to them at a previous legislative meeting we had, and they declined to take a position. And I know that there are more than three circuit judges out there who have mixed feelings on this bill, and I think that it's fair to say that it's an issue within the judiciary that where there is no clear consensus of opinion, 100% either way. So I just raise that with you to let you know what the Judicial Conference position is.
Thank you. Mr. Chair. Representative Bellamy.
Well, I served on the Juvenile Justice Task Force, the Governor's Task Force, 4 years ago. One of the biggest concerns we had was the lack of interest by the circuit court judges in juvenile work. And this Judge a Month program in Wayne County was a classic example where they gave it to the newest judge on the bench. If this bill is to pass, and no longer do the circuit court judges have any authority over the juvenile director, isn't it possible that we would see even less interest by circuit court judges in the juvenile work?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bellamy, I'm not certain I agree that the circuit judge would no longer have any authority over the director. The circuit judge would have all the authority they have right now in terms of directing that person to provide services for that particular juvenile court. What the judge wouldn't have would be the hiring, firing, and salary setting authority. But as far as directing that individual on a case-by-case basis to provide certain services to the particular juvenile involved, unless I'm terribly misreading Senate Bill 780, I don't think it affects that one iota. The biggest single factor that could affect juvenile services is the budgetary process, which, you know, it goes on in every county right now. If the county commissioners wanted to get political and wanted to do certain things to the juvenile justice system, the best way for them to do it is through the budgetary process over which they have control right now and will have control in the future.
Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Linden. Anyone else? I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 780 and open the work session.
On what?
On SB 780.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to object. Now, we There's been lots of testimony, both pro and con, in this bill, and I see no reason why we can't hold off a work session a little bit of time. Today I've gotten several phone calls from individuals, and we have testimony both pro and con. We should have a little bit of time, and we're not in the last 2 weeks of the session.
Representative Bellamy, I'm sure that you will make your objections known should the bill pass onto full committee and have that opportunity. As chair of this sub, I am going to work as hard as I can to move things along during what is certainly beginning to be the final days of this session. It will obviously come up before the full Judiciary Committee should it pass here. And your objection is noted.
Well, then I guess I will assume that we'll have a work session on every bill scheduled for hearing.
Well,
because yesterday we had a bill that was scheduled for work for hearing, and we didn't have a work session on it, Mr. Chair. I got three calls this morning from three county judges, I have strong problems with this bill, but I think that this subcommittee needs a little more time. I've asked staff for a position, and we've had one individual that says it's the Chapter 419 does not apply to these counties under 11,000. I think that's important for us to know. And I'm just thinking that we can wait till the first of next week to go into work session on this bill.
Representative Bellamy, we are in work session on House Bill 780. Are you?
Mr. Chair.
And your objection is noted. Representative Dix.
I would move Senate Bill 780. Is it engrossed? Or is it as is?
I believe the bill is
as is.
It's just 780.
Senate Bill 780 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Dix moves 780 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, and the effect of which is to recommend that the bill go from the main committee to the Ways and Means process. And I'll place that motion. Is there further discussion?
Yeah.
Representative Dix.
This bill faces a long process, and I appreciate my friend's concerns from Central Oregon. But as he knows, we're not going to have full committee till Monday. And after it leaves full committee on Monday, it has to go through Ways and Means, which is a whole other process entirely. I think the effect of stalling for another week is just to kill the bill. And I don't know if those were his intentions, and I'm not saying they were, but I think it could have the effect of killing the bill if we stall the bill. I think that there are those who object are going to object regardless of what we do to the bill if it's amended.
Representative Dix, I do want to move the committee along on non-procedural grounds. I think Representative Bellamy understood that I made the ruling the way I did, and that it faces not only full committee but another committee after that, should it pass out. Further discussion? Representative Bauman.
I am in a position somewhat similar to Representative Bellamy's, and I plan on answering my phone calls this afternoon, and if I have additional information at the time that this bill comes up again, just want to retain my privilege to deliver that information to the full committee.
Further discussion?
Hearing none. Debbie, will you call the roll?
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
No.
Dix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Aye. Motion is adopted, and the chair will carry the bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Miller.
We voted on the prevailing side. I'll serve notice of possible reconsideration.
So noted. We will move on to the Senate Bill 838, which I believe is a short one. And Health Division is here to testify, and that appears to be the only witness is signed up. Is there anyone else signed up for Senate Bill 838?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I will be extremely brief. My testimony is being passed out. The Health Division is supportive of the concept that would provide public health information to women of childbearing age as we would to individuals of all ages. We support the concept of county clerks providing pamphlets on the fetal alcohol syndrome to individuals applying for marriage licenses. Our only feeling regarding the bill is that we would like to see county clerks in a position to provide other public health information to young women of marrying age, such as prenatal care, drug abuse, AIDS, smoking, nutritional information, or other public health information. We don't come attempting to amend the bill, but perhaps just for legislative intent that it would be appropriate that other information in addition to the fetal infant syndrome be provided. The pamphlets are available from the March of Dimes. The Health Division has approved this pamphlet. We'll be happy to have these distributed so there's not a fiscal impact on this piece of legislation.
And I think I would I'd ask for questions.
Yes, questions.